Let me share something with you about this start small and end big. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise small beginnings." Don't despise small beginnings. Now, I've shared with you a lot about not being too proud to bend my knee to pick up a penny. I've said that, and then here we come. It's just so awesome how God surely said to me, "Mark, I thought you would be this would be encouraging to you." I tell you what, felt like a 10-alarm fire in my heart. Do not despise small beginnings. Walking along the road, you see a penny on the floor. What do? Walk past it? Leave it where it is? After all, it's only a penny. Why bother? What would happen if that penny was a 20-pound note? Would you walk away ignoring that? You'd want to pick it up, wouldn't you? You'd want to do something about it. You couldn't just leave it lying there. It's worth something. In a world that constantly says bigger is better, it's easy to ignore the little things in life.
That's right.
We didn't have a big band here today, but we had some big hearts.
That's right.
We didn't have stringed instruments and the violin and drums and everything else, or keyboard, but we had big hearts. When God has your heart, He'll take care of the instrument.
That's right.
God has to have your heart first. And so that's what lights me up. It's easy to think you can't do anything because you don't have enough, aren't talented enough, or don't know enough. It's easy to get fed up, frustrated, and pack in doing things because it's taking too long. You feel you're not getting anywhere, or your efforts aren't amounting to much. Does that ever sound like you sometimes? The Bible says, "Do not despise small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." He rejoices to see the work begin. A 1,000-mile journey begins with what? A first step. You don't take the first step, you're not going 1,000 miles.
That's right.
And so, God always sees the potential in you, so notice the small things. Take care of the little things. Do the tiny things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
What about that woman that gave all she had?
That's right.
What did Jesus say about her?
She
gave more than anybody.
Right.
They gave out of their abundance. She gave she gave everything she had.
That's right.
Don't ever tell the Lord. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's so little.
That's right.
You find that the little things are just as valuable and just as important. All things that become great started small. I don't know what kind of voice you had when you asked Jesus to come into your life to save you, but if it was a squeak. See, God hears way beyond our hearing, just like animals are way beyond us.
Yeah, yeah.
All things that become great started small. If you squeaked to the Lord and said to the Lord something like, "I'm tired of this life that I'm living. I want to do something about it." The Lord is just in the kingdom of heaven is just hearing that. He's hearing the bleat of a soul crying out to Him. That's all you got to do is just squeak. God hears it. I tell you so often, I want to identify with Jesus when I'm doing whatever I'm doing, wherever I am. And I was on a property the other day and I heard a hawk squawk up in the air. You know how they fly around, they squawk. And I just looked up. And He just did a little show for me. Maybe it was just for me. But you talk about the eyes of a Lord, the eyes of an eagle that can see. It is incredible. He's over here doing his screeching, the hawk is, and He, all of a sudden, two of them, one in front of the other one, folds their wings back and dives from where he is across the trees that are way over there because they saw something I could never see. I can't even comprehend them seeing whatever it was, a mouse, a mole, a cat, or whatever it was, probably not a cat, but maybe something small. He dove from wherever he was, way over there beyond those trees. He was after something. He saw something. See, God sees way beyond where we can see.
Right.
He's got it covered. And those are just hawks. That's not the eyes of God. Those are just hawks, something God created. It's just incredible. I was just, I said, thank you. I get it. I got it. You need to be my eyes because I can't see beyond. You can't. Get can't out of your vocabulary. All things that become great start as small. Do this for others too. Start passing out small words of encouragement and compliments. Watch how attitudes change as others see you seeking to build them up rather than trying to tear them down. Little things like a word of encouragement can help others achieve their massive potential. Wow. Well, Josh, you're getting ready to go into the Coast Guard, and you're going to get a lot of encouragement to do what you think you cannot do. That's for sure. You know why it's so cold in here? And it's not a figment of my imagination. It was turned down to 60 or 62 to dry the carpet out, and we forgot to turn it back up. Forgive me. So that thing should shut off here in a minute. I know what I'm feeling. It's cold in here. Man, I see some of these jackets on and stuff. Wow. So praise the Lord. A little air built up to be a lot, didn't it? Wow. See, Zechariah says, you don't have to turn there, you can listen to it if you want. Zechariah 4:6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. All your might and all your power and all your brain knowledge and all your whatever you think your capabilities are do not hold a candle to the Lord. And for those who feel they're not able to do whatever that is, God says, oh yes, you can. So don't say you can't. God says you can. Do not deny the Lord the wonderful ability to enable you to do what you can do. Do not say you cannot. And so I want to give you a pre-text today before we go to our text because it's awesome. It says a lot and has a lot to do with us. How many of you today have felt that you have been under siege in different ways? You've had some things surrounding you and things coming against you. And there's an excellent example of what to do about that when you feel there's a lot of stuff going on in your life. See, in the Old Testament and in battles, as Ted knows, in the past, the warfare back then was a little different than now, but they still had cavalry and they still had artillery and their artillery, whatever it was at that time, but it may have been fiery, balls that were catapulted and stuff like that and flaming arrows, but they were still artillery and they had cavalry and horses and all those things. But a lot of times when nations came against other nations and they were very much fortified because of all the wars going on back and forth, the enemy that would come up against you and all your fortification would be after you, and this way they would lay siege to you and they wouldn't mind doing it for two or three or four years or however long it took. They just camped out here and they laid siege against you and they were after you to starve, depriving you of coming out to get your game and your food and all these type of things. They'd be after your water, number one, and they'd want to starve you out one way or the other and lay siege to you, and they would come after you. How many of you feel that you've had some many sieges in your life where the enemy is coming up and he's wanting to starve you out of your faith in Jesus Christ? Your relationship with Jesus Christ. He'll come, he'll start talking. He'll talk to you. Oh, he's a good salesman. He'll talk to you just like he did Adam and Eve. But he'll start talking, he'll start throwing out stuff. He might say something about somebody else. He might say something about somebody else that you didn't know, that you were really surprised that what you found out about that person was a little squirrely. You didn't like that. And you, all of a sudden you got a little different feelings toward them. But yet it's just words from somebody. Is it authenticated? Is it real? Is it correct? Is it accurate? Or is it just somebody just mouthing off stuff to cause trouble? Now you've got to really take these thoughts captive. You can't let that stuff run and let your imagination run.
That's right.
Have you been having sieges laid against you in different ways in your life? I think we all are not beyond that. The devil seeks to kill, steal, and to destroy our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And sometimes he's just going to hang out there as much as he can. As long as you're susceptible to it or fearful of it, he's going to hang out there and try to see if he can find a little crack in your wall someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Try to deprive you of your water source, the waters of life. Jesus, those waters of life. Try to deprive you. Deprivation, hunger, starvation. And it worked a lot of times. And sometimes they would just take whatever artillery they had and come against the big old 8 and 10 foot walls. But it's no big deal, but it works for the enemy too. Little adds up after a while. Pow, pow, pow. And the guys on the inside says, huff and puff all you want. You're not going to blow this house in. That's true, though, if you're in Jesus. You're not going to remove that foundation. But I'm just talking about pride. You just shoot away all you want. You're not going to do anything to me. And so the words just keep coming. The assault just keeps coming. The artillery just keeps coming. And after a while, you get a little crack in the wall. And a little crack in the wall adds up to be another little crack in the wall. And so our confidence can never be in ourselves and our thick walls. You know, we're actually pretty fragile. Our strength is in Jesus Christ. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is our strength. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, now let's say it like we really mean it, okay? Because nobody's going to come right now, as far as I know, nobody's going to arrest us. You know, Bob Buckhorn's not going to have cops down here or anything like that. You know, there's no law against it. Even if there was, we're going to say it anyhow, okay? We have a law that's greater than their laws. And our law is to serve the Lord. So let's say that together, like we really mean it. Let's say it to the Lord. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. And we have been weak and we have been poor.
Right.
Well, boy howdy, not this minute. I trust you, Jesus. Well, take this minute and make it another minute. If you get 60 of them together, you got an hour. You put all them together for 24 times, you get a day. And you put that thing together and you get 7 of them, you got a week. So, hey, I want to do this all the time.
Amen.
It's a decision time. That's all it is. And I think a lot of ways the church is weak. They're anemic. They're pale. They're cowards, they don't have a spine, and they're giving in to a lot of things through a political restructuring of our laws and stuff. They want to tell you what to say, what you can say, and don't get too carried away with this God that you serve. We're going to tone you down a little bit, and there will be laws, and there are laws that are really out to do that. And Satan is behind it. I pray that I will not be silenced when it comes to Jesus Christ the day He takes me home. Do not silence the tongue of the Spirit of God. Well, I want to share something with you in 2 Kings to make a point because it's so powerful. In 2 Kings chapter 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. And 2 Kings chapter 19, just want to go to a portion of this to make a point.
One more time, 2 Kings.
Second Kings. And actually, just to touch on two scriptures in 18 first, okay? 18 verses 5 and 6 and 7. We're talking about Hezekiah. And you know, by the way, he is the one that God gave an additional few years to his life. I think it was 15 years because of there was a petition to the Lord to do so, and God heard his cry. But here's a little bit of bio on him, okay? 2 Kings 18, 5. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. And verse 6, very, very important. He did something. that please the Lord. Something that you and I need to do today. He clung. What does your Bible say? Mine says use the word clung. He clung.
Held fast.
He held fast. I like that. Anybody else? Want to use your imagination? Huh?
It says held on.
Held on. Held fast. He clung.
Mine says both, for he clung and held fast.
He clung and held fast. So you upped us both.
Mine says clave.
He clave. Same thing. He clave to the Lord. And I looked that up. And what that literally means is, it means to, the King James says clave. It means to be united, to hold fast, to keep, to be stuck together, to press hard upon, to be joined fast, and to pursue hard. That's a pretty good testimony. How about putting that on your epitaph, on your marker when you die, all these things about you? I like Enoch's. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. There was a report that he was pleasing to the Lord. He walked with God. Wow, 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 wow. He walked with God. Well, here he is. He clung to the Lord and he did something else. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. He not only kept God's commandments, he knew where the commandments came from the living God. If you know where you come from, what you're doing here, and where you're going, you will not be deterred no matter what goes on in the city of Tampa or Florida or this country or this world.
That's right.
Oh, 2012 is coming, y'all. Have you heard? 2012. You know, the Mayan calendar ends 2012. We see it on TV and all this stuff, and they got it all together. And the reason it didn't go on, because there wasn't going to be anything here to go on. 2012. How many of you are shaking about 2012? You're concerned about it. There is going to be, for the first time in many thousands of years, whatever, an alignment of the planets, which can cause a gravitational pull and set off earthquakes and a lot of stuff. And that may very well happen in 2012. I have not heard from my God, my commander, that the world is going to end 2012. I haven't heard that. If I do, I'll share it with you. If you do, share it with me. And then if you do share it with me, I will say to you, he showed you, he's got to show me. You see. But I believe a lot of people, they fear things like that. They don't know where the source is coming from. The Mayans, who were the Mayans? Were Mayans God's people that were prophetically uttering and stopping a calendar from going on after 2000? The Mayans! You could easily be saying Muhammad said it, or Buddha said it, or Confucius, the confused one, he said it. Well, yeah, you know where they are? You can find them. They're in the grave where the bones are. Might be some dust there, but I don't know, but there's bones. But you won't find the body of Jesus Christ. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Boy, my notes are perfect. I've told you before, I do not care. So if you think you care about whether I care or not, and you're going to cause me to lose some sleep, I don't care. So I'm still going to sleep. And the Lord said, open your mouth and I will fill it. And the Lord was with him. Verse 7, wherever he went, he prospered, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve the king of Assyria. Wow. Okay, so now let's go over to 19. That's who he was. He didn't serve the king of Assyria, nor his sieges, nor his threats against him. He didn't fear the enemy. Light is not threatened by darkness. Naomi, you said it the other day. Light is what? It's very simple.
It's that light is, or darkness is the absence of light.
That's right.
Light's light. You know, there's nothing else that's there. You know, just. In heaven, it's just going to be light, you know, because there's no darkness in God, because he's there. There's no absence.
Darkness is the absence of light. Can you say the opposite? Light is the absence of darkness. There's no darkness there. It works both ways. Light is the absence of darkness. There's no darkness. It's light. There is no darkness. We get a little squirrely sometimes, but the Spirit of God does not. We ask God to forgive us for those squirrelness. Do you know what I mean by that? You being you. I'm looking at you when I said that, but I don't mean that about you. I think you're a nice person. But we all get squirrely. But anyhow, I wanted to say that about Hezekiah because what a legacy. He loved the Lord. Do you love the Lord?
Yeah.
Can people say that about you?
Yeah.
Or have your... God loves us. Wow. Okay. We've got a threat coming here against a man who thinks this way. You're going to have threats come against you because of the way you think.
That's right.
He had it in his day. You're going to have it in your day. Darkness does not like the light. It doesn't want to come in, hang around, and have fellowship with it because it will expose the deeds in darkness that the deeds are evil, and darkness doesn't like that, so it stays away from the light. People do the same thing. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to read God's Word. I don't want to read the Psalms. I don't want to read a gospel every day. I don't want to read through the Bible in a year. I don't want to hear it. Why? Because their deeds do not want to be exposed to the light. Because the light will show that person for what they are. People don't like that. That's why we have to be what? Humble before the Lord when we come to Him and ask Him to forgive us for the darkness and for the deeds in our life. He does. And all of a sudden light is darkness is evicted. It's out. Light is in. And the process of growing in the grace of God begins. Wow. Look at this in Hezekiah 19. Something being said about him and the enemy that came against him. All right. The king of Assyria was coming against Jerusalem, and Hezekiah happened to be the king. And they were coming against Jerusalem and laying siege to it. And Sennacherib, I used to pronounce that Sennacherib. I understand it's Sennacherib. Had some things to say against Hezekiah and his confidence in the Lord. Verse 10, 2 Kings 19, verse 10. Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. I mean, that's appalling to me as a child of God. For someone to say to me, do not let your God deceive you. Deception is not a part of who God is. You see that? That's humorous. Yet the enemy says to Hezekiah and the defense against the defense of Jerusalem, it says, do not let your God deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? You know, we're powerful. We destroy people. We lay siege to people. And you're going to have confidence in God that He's going to protect you? Do you know, have you ever heard this expression, do you know who I am? People say, do you know who I am? Satan can come up to you and all your confidence in the Lord and humility before the Lord. God is blessing you. God is really enriching you. God, all the riches of heaven are being available to you, and you're receiving them, and you're drinking it in, and you're really living every day just hungering for the Lord. You have a lot to learn, but you're hungry. And yet the enemy comes up and says, you sure you want to put your confidence in Him? You sure you want to trust Him? And said, this is what we do to our enemies. And you're our enemy if we come up to you and say, serve us, or we're going to annihilate you. Then you become our enemy. So that's basically what they did to Jerusalem. Either serve us or die. Yeah, that's probably a good estimation of Satan. Serve me or die. That's what he would like to do. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But he can't. Because he's got that light to deal with. He's got that blood of Jesus to deal with. He has to go through Jesus to snatch you out of his hand. Anybody have a coin? Any coins? Oh, man, come on, man.
In the pot, Mark.
I got to go.
Ah, in the pot? No. Oh.
There you go.
In here? Okay. All right. Here we are in Jesus. He cannot take you out of Jesus' hand. He cannot do it. You can jump if you want, fly away, but He cannot take you out of the hand of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's got to deal with He who holds you.
Yes.
He can't do it. But He'll try. He'll try. He'll appeal to you in any way He can. So this is the whole point of this. Hezekiah, a man of God, he has the enemy coming against him, and this is what he does with all the threats. This is what we need to hear and let it soak in today. In verse 14, he takes the threats, he takes all these things, and watch what he does with it. Watch what he does with it. In verse 14, then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers of the enemy and read it, and he went up to where? Oh my. You mean I can go to the First Baptist down the road or the Presbyterian Church or come down here and because I'm in the house of God here that this is going to please God to bring a petition before Him? No, it's not the building, is it? What is the point? He went to the house of God. He went to God is what we're saying. Not the building. He went to God. Okay, so he went to the house of the Lord and what? What did he do? What does your Bible say? What did he do with all these threats?
Spread
it out. My Bible says he spread it out before the Lord. It's just like all these things and all these things coming in your life and all this stuff going on and school and jobs and getting fired and re-employed and how am I going to do it? And mom just lost her job and I got to help her and dad's sick and the car needs tires and the battery needs replaced and the neighbors are, they just moved out and boy, they were a mess and who are we going to get next? And I'm just so concerned who are we going to get for people renting a house next door? And I mean, you got all these things that come against you, just spread it out to the Lord.
There you go.
Go to the Lord and spread it out to the Lord. Employees sometimes get a little squirrely, don't they? Employees get a little squirrely. They say things, they write notes, they try to get you in trouble because they want your job. Or whatever, they want them to look better. Or you know, whatever, you did more work than them last week and now they're out to try to do something to level the playing field. I don't know, but these things go on at work and a lot of people do a lot of talking at work. It causes a lot of trouble. If you're involved in stuff like that and you're in the middle of all that, you're the light, you're not the dark, you're the light, man. Cast some light on the subject. Spread it out before the Lord if there's injustice being done. Bring it before the table of the Lord. See, He did it. Why can't we do it? Is this a message for us today? Relevance. If it can't be relevant, why even talk about this? Let's go home. It's not relevant. Why are you teaching me something out of 2 Kings for us today? If it's not relevant, it's no use. It was just for Hezekiah. We read about what kind of a man he was. Now he takes that manhood in God. He takes that manship. He takes that spine and he brings it before the Lord. And all these cheap shots being thrown at him and all these people want to take Jerusalem and take his life and ransack the place and make them subservient to him as an enemy. And he does something. He takes those threats. He brings it before the Lord. And I love the expression, Josh. He spreads it out before the Lord. Any other expression? Any other version? He spread it out before the Lord. Huh? Pretty well says the same thing? Okay, he spread it out before the Lord. How many of you lately have had opportunities or situations where you've been a little negligent? You've been kind of going over here and instead of bringing it to the Lord and spreading it out to Him, how many have been kind of spreading it out before your own brain, trying to figure it out? Because of what they're doing or what's going on in your life. How many of you have been guilty? And I hold both hands up and I don't want to fall down, but both feet up. You know, I have been guilty of that. See, the Lord says He looks upon that. Yeah, you've been guilty of that. You have not spread it out to Me. You spread it out to your own brain. You kind of figured it out. You asked other people. You know, you haven't had godly counsel. You've had other opinion counsel. You've had the opinion of other people counsel. That's what you've had. And I guarantee you, if you want something to go in your favor or agree with you in some way, if you ask enough people, you'll finally get an answer that's agreeable to what you want to do.
That's right.
And it can only be one voice from the Lord. You need to be very careful that you're hearing the voice of the Lord. It can only be one voice. Only one voice that is getting through from the Lord, and blah, 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 blah. Thus saith the Lord. So all their 50 opinions won't hold a candle to God's voice. See, when God is speaking, that's the one you got to hear. That's the voice you need to hear. Wow. And Shirley asked me, I've said this so many times, she said, honey, what do you want? What can I pray for you for? I said, I want to hear the voice of God.
There you go.
It's everything. That's it. That's everything. And it says, Hezekiah prayed and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, who art enthroned above the cherubim, Thou art the God, Thou alone, of all the kings of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. He made it very clear who He is talking to. Incline Thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open Thy eyes, O Lord, and see and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which He has sent to reproach the living God. Not me, not Hezekiah. He has reproached You, Lord, the living God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the I am that I am. He is reproaching you. You know you can take that attitude as God's child. This is coming against you, God, not me. Lord, I've been fired illegally. There's been some things done. But Lord, if I'm Your child, they've done this against You. Lord, help me and make this a better situation than where I think it might go. I want to go with You. I'm not going to get excited about this. But this is against You. I'm Your child, Lord. I walk in Your light. I love You. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I serve Him. Please help me in this situation and manifest through me Your will. I spread it out to You.
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Yeah.
You're going to have people yelling. I mean, you're going to go, whoa, what did I ever do to you? It had nothing to do with what you did to them. It's going to have to do with breaking things down so they can build things up. That's how it works. As long as you know that ahead of time, you'll be all right. Don't look to them. You look to the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Be careful what you volunteer for.
Yeah, I figured that one out the hard way.
Incline Thy ear, O Lord, verse 16. And hear, open Thy eyes, O Lord, and see and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which He has sent to reproach the living God. Wow. This is my petition. I want all of God's people, all of God's saints, for one, those who know Him, and every part of this earth that know Him, to live like they know Him.
Yeah,
amen. To not allow the world to dictate to our young folks how they are to behave, what are their dating habits to be, what are they supposed to do on dates, and the stuff they're supposed to read, and the literature they're supposed to see, and all the movie industry, and all the stuff, and all the influential things that are out there in the media world. We need to be governed and guided by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
See, I believe we're in the process of that great transformation as we walk. We're just becoming like Jesus, learning to do it His way. As Jesus talked to the disciples, He says, no, I know you, yeah, but He clarified it for them and they learned. Oh, now I know what you're talking about. We all got a lot to learn. Stay in class, man. Stay in class.
There you go.
And so, what happened? What happened here? Well, God didn't care for what the enemy was doing. He heard Hezekiah's request. And wow, go on over to verse 35. God is not mocked.
Yeah.
2 Kings 1935. Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck. What kind of figures you have in your Bible? I know they're going to agree. There ain't no other way to... Well, how many? Huh?
Smote.
185,000.
Yeah, he smote. How many though? How many?
185,000.
185,000 people. That would be Raymond James Stadium, which is 70,000. So 3 times 70, 140 and a 3.5. 3.5 stadium pulls. 185,000. And that means that there were that many at least that were laying siege against Jerusalem. 185,000 people laying siege to you and your multitude, whatever you had, but they were out there hooting and hollering. We got Sennacherib, man, he is cool, he's hot. Nobody defeated him yet. I defeated 10 cities out of 10 cities. What's your God going to do about that? And you would even have the enemy, you'd even have those guys saying this kind of stuff. Your God told me to come and get you. You'll have some of them saying that. And God didn't say that. Now, God did use enemies to discipline His people. Yes, many times. 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men rose early in the morning, behold, all of them were dead. And Sennacherib, he goes back home, and two people kill him. All the boasting, all the false gods, all the rubbish, all the rubble is gone. Who's left standing? When the smoke clears, there's God. When the smoke clears, there's Jesus. And if you're with Jesus, you're serving Him, when the smoke clears, you're going to be standing.
That's right.
There's some stuff coming on this earth. I believe it's not too far off. There's some stuff coming. It's nigh at the door. There's some stuff going down. And there's some people out there, they're just confused. They just, you know, just, they're not taking a walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ serious. They're not doing it. They're like drifting clouds. They're like cotton balls just floating around, drifting. I was in Montana one time a few years ago, and I couldn't believe it. We were out there at the reservoir fishing for trout. And just swirls coming from east heading west, there were mayflies. And there were just vortexes of them. Vortex. It was a season of the year. It just I could clearly see a vortex. And they were just drifting. It was just like with the wind. It was just drifting. You know, see, it just, there was no ability to direct where they were going. And so the people of this world who serve the God of this world, they may not want to hear that, but if you don't serve God, there is no shacks on the fence to live in. There's no camps on fences. It's either one way or the other.
That's right.
You don't serve God, then you're going to serve God of this world. That's who your God is. No, I don't have God, and I don't have the God of this world. Don't tell me that. Well, forget it. You know, that's where they are. There's nothing to argue with.
That's right.
There's no argument. And so, just being pushed by any little breeze. We can take a cattails. You know what cattails are? You take the fuzzy cattail and you rub it like, and it's just crazy everywhere. You turn a fan on and throw it in front of the fan, and it just going wherever that wind directs them. But we have direction. We have substance. We are guided and directed by the Spirit of God. Where? Where? I want to ask you, where are we directed by the Spirit of God? Where? In what place? Wherever you are. Wherever you go, there you are. Wherever you are, you're on that bike, that's where you are. Where's your heart? Where are your thoughts? Somebody pull out in front of you. Could threaten your life. And then maybe give you a sign with their hand somehow to let you know what they think about you. Not liking what they did. Where are you then? Where's your heart? You see, you're not singing Rock of Ages right then. You're not up in church. You're not with people. You're just there you are on your bike. Where is your heart in that moment? Because I want to tell you, it will rise up within you sometimes. It will rise up within you.
When you're on a bike, you gotta think that everybody's after you.
Yeah, that's about right. We're going to close. I'm actually just beginning, but we're going to close, you know, because I don't look at it. We're going to eat something, and then we're going to go, and we're going to see if you're going to apply it or not. That's between you and the Lord. Has nothing to do with me. But I do want to give you the text that we're trying to get to with all these pretexts. And no pretense. Okay? All right. Now, if you would, turn to... You got it in your handout. Everybody got a handout? Everybody got a handout? Got a handout? Everybody? Okay. It's just... The text is Psalm 25. If you want to turn there. And Psalm 25... And let's start with verse 1, just a couple scriptures here. Has a lot to do and everything to do with what we're talking about today. The title for our message today is what? Somebody give me the title.
Committed to wait upon the Lord.
24:7. Committed to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 25, verse 1. To Thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in Thee I trust. That's a song we sing. Unto Thee, O Lord, da 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 da, do I lift up my soul. You know what I'm talking about. To Thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O God, in Thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed.
That's right.
Don't be ashamed of your heritage.
Right.
Don't be ashamed to be called a Christian. Because right now in the world, there's a lot of other stuff going on out there other than Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
And Islam is one of them. Islam, very aggressive, very, very egregious, very, 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 very powerful. Wanting to have nothing on this earth but Islamic beliefs. Muhammad. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me, which we just saw did not happen in 2 Kings. Indeed, none of those who what? Wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause, they're the ones that will be ashamed. In verse 4, make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Wow, what a prayer. Make me. And I think anybody can say this. Are you willing to be made willing?
Yeah.
See, you may not be willing to go some places and venture with Jesus in certain ways, but are you willing to say, God, make me willing. I'm willing to be made willing. I'm willing. I don't understand it now. I've been very stubborn about certain things, but Lord, I'm willing to be made willing.
Yeah.
And He says right here, make me know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day long.
Yeah.
Well, he may not have every day waited upon the Lord, because wait is a word we need to understand what it means. What do you think wait means?
Trust.
It means trust. What's another word for what does it mean here to wait upon the Lord?
Serve.
It means to serve. Yeah, that's good. It literally means, what did somebody say?
To seek?
Yeah. It's all there. It literally means, when you go to the Hebrew in this context, it means to hope in. So whenever you see wait, to thee I wait upon the Lord, I hope in the Lord. That's why I said that hope bridges the chasm. The hope will bridge the siege that is coming against you, because you're not going to see the siege. You're not going to see all the trouble coming against you and stuff at work and all that's going on in the economy and the world and are they going to do away with this? And if they are going to do away with that, then that means this, and then that means I'm out of here, because you already got it all figured out. Hope goes beyond that to see Jesus. Hope goes beyond everything you see in the world to see Jesus. And that's when Paul said, though he slay me, yet I will praise him.
That's right. That's good.
I mean, if that was God's choice to slay you, to take you to be with him, you know, that's got to be okay with you. But that might be a hard thing to comprehend the mind, but it's a faith thing. Just like Abraham was going to take Isaac, he was going to do that by faith. He raised his arm. He was going to do it. Hey, Abraham. Not necessary. There's a ram in a bush. There's a ram in a bush for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a ram in the bush. I don't mean a Dodge.
truck. Everybody's got a ram in the bush. You got it. You don't have to think whether you have it or not. You got it.
That's right.
He has you covered.
Yeah, he does.
Are you open to that? You see. And so, to wait means to hope in, to look for, to be gathered unto Him. That's what it means when He says, for thee I wait all day long. I hope in you all day long. My trust is in you all day long. I'm not going to listen to the rubbish that comes against me. All the trouble there is around me or even in my family. See, sometimes that hurts us more than anything else is the family. In what direction is the family going? Oh, God, we've prayed for years. Turn them around, turn them around, turn them around. And I want to say to you, don't get tired of saying, turn them around or praying for those that you know better. Don't stop.
There you go.
Do not cease to pray for them. They have siege works against them. They have enemies against them. They may not be walking in the light. They may know better and all those type of things, but they're squirrely and they're messing around and they're playing with their life. They're playing with fire. But God, go get them. God, light a fire with them again. God, illuminate, show them, open their eyes and help them to see what they cannot see. Because all the talking and all the words in the world on your part aren't going to do it. It may be somebody else. Maybe not you. Okay, I just want to ask this question. Which of us today can truly say these words? Which of us lives a life of communion with God in such a way? How many today can say, for thee I wait all day long? I believe with all my heart. The willingness is there. The attitude is there to do that, but we don't always do it, do we?
Right.
I mean, that's a mouthful. For thee, I wait all day long. That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
24/7. Do you want to? That's the question. And I want to ask you this. Are there things in your life that you're learning to trust God for more so than you have before?
Yeah.
And that can go for yesterday, it can go for last week, and it can go for even this morning. Even this morning sitting here, all the beehive thoughts that we can have to distract us. How many of you are learning, God help me to not be distracted with all these thoughts, but pay attention, Lord, to Your Word that is being shared. See, that's a new day. That's good. Because we can be thinking of so many things to distract us from and get maybe 40% or 50% or 30%. How many of you want to absorb 100% of what God has to say to you?
Yeah.
I do. I desire that.
Yeah.
Sometimes the thickness, it keeps it away, but I want God to batter them walls and get in there. Get in my heart.
That's right.
I do with all my heart. I want to understand in my mind what I believe in my heart. I want to understand it. I want to live it. Well, we've just begun, but the train is pulling over for right now. not the train of the Lord. It's going to go on. But I thank God for a few moments to share with you some important principles here and things that we need to pay attention to. I believe the church needs to wake up today. Those who love the Lord, know the Lord, love Him, need to have a greater determination to invite Him into the world and let more light in so more darkness can go out.
Amen.
You can't save yourself. You can't do it. It's the blood of Jesus. You're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. We're saved by grace.
That's right.
If there's anybody hearing this message today, wherever you may be on this earth, I pray that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will make it your business. If you want to live eternally, you will make it your business right now. I don't care where you are. You might be at work. You know, you might be at home. You might be getting out of bed. You might have just whatever gone on the internet and heard somebody out of the corner of your ear or whatever. But you need to wake up and get busy living. Or get busy dying. You need to either reject God or accept Him. You cannot go in between. There's no houses on the fences that you can live. There's no place to go. There's no place to run. So I pray for you, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will understand that God did so love the world, that He did give Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, that whomsoever, maybe you, would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I could offer, if anybody could offer you, had the power to offer you anything you wanted on earth, anything, what is it? What do you want? I could give you anything. And you might go through cars and material things. And if you're a man, you might want 10 women. If you're a woman, you might only want one man. Guaranteed, only one man, only more. You know, the greater wisdom going to the woman there, you know. But, you know, anything you want. You want to fly to France and have the best and dine the best and fly back tonight and at warp speed or wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to have. But after you have all those things and take all those sailing trips around all the world and see all the places and have anything and everything that you want, what do you really want? They say, man, you got a point there, because if I have all those things, I'm going to have them for a little while. Oh, I want eternal life. Yeah, that's right. That's a good thing to ask for. You would want eternal life. That's what you would want. And guess what we have? Eternal life. Not to live in iniquity. Not to take what we have here and keep living and hating people forever. Eternally. No, that's not going to work that way. But once you're born of a woman, once you come out of the womb of a woman, you will never die. You will never die. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once.
Amen.
Does it make sense?
I don't understand.
If you're... If you're born once of a woman, and that's the only birth you have, you're not born again, you're going to die here and you're going to die eternally. But if you're born twice, out of your mother and spiritually, you're only going to die once, and that would be here in the physical. And that's it. Praise the Lord.
Serious math there.
Huh?
Serious math you got there.
That is, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you got something out of it today. Well, you know what I really pray for is for you. I pray that you will go out and be actually hearing from God for yourself.
That's right.
I understand what you said last week about the sieges and coming against God's people, and I know that's me, but this week, you know, I hear that, and I'm going to trust God to come against all those things that are coming against me. And I'm going to trust God. And you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to spread this out before the Lord. I'm going to say, God, you hear what's going on. You know what's going on. You know what's taking place. But God, I'm going to spread this out to you. And I want to know what you have for intervention for me and my future and direction from in this situation or whatever it may be in your life. Isn't that a good thing to practice? Can we say something together? And I want to say it before we say it, because we need to say it like we mean it. Lord Jesus, in just a moment, say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to spread my problems out to you.
Yeah.
And then we're going to say, Lord, I spread my life out to you. Okay? Can we say that together? Lord Jesus, I spread my problems out to you. Lord Jesus, I spread my life out to you.
Yeah.
Now, he heard that. Yeah, I just said it because everybody else wouldn't. I know what my mouth. Blah, blah. No, I don't think so. I think everybody meant it. Praise God. Well, let's all stand. Next week, I want testimonies, though, about this, about doing these things, about trusting God. And we want a good reports for what's going on. You won't be with us next week, but we'll know where you'll be. And Josh, we will be praying for you, as Ted did earlier. Thank you, Ted. Looking out for you. Father, I pray for each and every soul here today, including little Adeline, of course. Her understanding is most limited because of her age. But Father, everyone else in here, we understand to a great degree what you're saying. And I think there's a great weight going on here, what you're saying to your church today. We need to get busy living. And if we don't want to do that, then go ahead. Go die. Go ahead and die. Doubly dead. But Father, it is my cry for everybody in here to go out and, so to speak, Lord, we go to class and then we go to lab. We go to chemistry class and we go to lab. And so, Father, now we're going to the real world. We're going into the lab. We're going to have to really live this thing. And I pray that we'll be successful, Lord, this week, today, this afternoon, of trusting you and looking to you, Lord, to guide us, direct us, and lead us into the more perfect way which you have for us. I pray for every soul in here and every soul that may be listening to this message to trust Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of your soul, in your daily life, every moment of every second. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.